Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, sponsored by Coronation and hosted on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I am one half of your broadcast duo. My name is Greg Mahochko, joined as always by my good friend, fellow Husker fan, and longtime broadcast buddy, Mr. Brian Toll. Brian, as we record this, it's Wednesday evening. Of course, you're hearing it Friday or after that, but we just saw disappointment once again. Nebraska ball, they led by as much as 12 points in the first half, lost by one to Ohio State, now have lost 10 of 11 to the Buckeyes in basketball since the Big Red joined the Big Ten, and just had every opportunity to win, but by gosh, you got to hit some free throws.
Yeah, I mean, you're 11 of 20 at the free throw line. You lose by one. What do you take away from that?
And it wasn't just this game. I mean, obviously they had limited opportunities in the game against Michigan. But if you hit free throws in the Iowa game, that you end up winning in double overtime, you don't go to overtime. And if you hit free throws against Northwestern, you beat Northwestern. Common denominator. I mean, it seems like, you know, they shot very well, especially in the first half from the field. But couldn't catch a break at the line, and those are supposed to be the quote-unquote easy ones. So, I don't know, does Coach Miles, does he just put something, you know, in practice, say you don't get to leave until you make 50 free throws or 100 free throws?
Know.
I mean, not say you don't get to leave, like, you know, nobody's locking the door, this isn't Coach Carter. And they were locked out of the gym, by the way. But it just, you know, on a good day, I can hit 7 to 10.
Yeah, well, some of these guys can probably hit 10 to 10 in practice, but it's, you know, practice is one thing, game is another. You know, and I'm not trying to justify it. I mean, it sucks. I mean, there's a couple ways to look at it. Ohio State had zero turnover. Ohio State had 10 turnovers the first half, zero turnovers the second half. And I think something you have to realize is that, you know, eleven turnovers leading to 10 Nebraska points in the first half, 0 for 0 second half. You know, that's a big deal. They have more points in the paint. Nebraska did a little better in the bench, but second chance points were a big deal. They out-rebounded Nebraska by 8. You know, you want to say, hey, it's just the free throws. You can live with that, you know, but
second
half box, you know who the best player on the floor in the second half was Ty Webster. Nobody else had more than 5 points. Nebraska only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people score in the second half. Glenn Watson had 2 points. Glenn Watson was 1 of 7 second half.
He did not have, I mean, he did not have the type of game we've grown accustomed from seeing. But before we get off of the free throws, and I'm not trying to harp, and like I said, I could on a good day make 7 out of 10, but I, you know, not in a packed, you know, Pinnacle Bank Arena with, you know, a Big Ten competition. Anyway, but if this team could hit some free throws, theoretically, they could be undefeated in Big Ten play. I mean, is that's not a stretch? That's fact.
Yeah. I think another thing, you know, they miss Ed Morrow. They miss Ed Morrow big time. You know,
but remember, we're not allowed to make excuses about that.
You're not, but you still can miss him.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Obviously. I thought that you know, there were times with Jacobson and McVay, and of course even Fuller off the bench, you know, stepped up, but you know, that's 2.5, 3 guys to replace one.
In the last Ohio State bucket was just it's just bad luck. I mean, Glenn falls. Ty switches. The guy gets the open. Ty doesn't switch. The other guy's open. I mean, it's literally what knife do you want to be killed with? You know, the machete or the Ginsu steak knife.
Ooh, the good news is the Ginsu steak knife. After it kills you, it can cut through a tin can and then cleanly cut it and slice a tomato. So probably go Ginsu.
Sure.
You got to remember, a machete is more of a hacking. It's less for murder and more for clearing brush in the Amazon, theoretically.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Just saying.
Bowie knife probably be my go-to. Or Bowie knife, depending on how you pronounce it.
I'd go Leatherman. Because you need a lot more. You need to pinch nose, pluck some stuff. You know, use a can opener in certain spots. You know.
Tweezers. Get the Phillips screwdriver out and really show them a bad time. Okay, moving on.
Vicious.
Yeah. So, Nebraska drops this one, and that was tough. The crowd got out of it until Nebraska got back in it. You know, I mean, when Nebraska's up 10-12, the crowd's red hot, but Nebraska got down 3 or 4, and they went silent until it was a 1-point ball game again. I think, you know, I've not been to a Nebraska ball game at the PBA or even at the Devaney, so I'm not trying to tell anybody else how to fan exactly. But I think, you know, in Big Ten competition, when maybe, I mean, this is not a bad Nebraska team, and they're competing with every team that they come against, you know, in conference play. So I think you just got to stay up. You can't let, you know, a 3 or 4 point deficit, you know, bum you out and sit on your hands. You got to that's when they need you the most. Damn it.
I want to say that, you know, and what's funny is it looked really dire at the end of 4 timeout when Nebraska was down 5 and they looked flat, and you're like, man, how the hell are they going to get in this? Because, you know, all they could do is shoot, you know, they had the bonus, but whatever. But they found a way. excuse me. It's a gut punch of a loss. Because mm-hmm. You had them. Your biggest lead was
12.
You know.
According to Kevin Kugler.
First half. Yep. It was 12.
Kevin Kugler's never lied to us. 31st.
Yeah. He might have. You don't know.
Not to me.
I thought Mark Loving played pretty well for them.
Oh,
I really do.
He had a nice game.
15-11. I thought Thompson didn't play very well for them. The guy that fouled out.
I mean, when you foul out, you tend to have a little bit of a breakdown, but you know, mechanics or discipline, something.
Think about it this way, you know, with as much of a foul disparity Nebraska had against them in the first half. Because remember, free throws wise, it was 7 for 11 for Ohio State, and Nebraska only shot 2 and didn't make either one. But the fact that Nebraska led that half by 8, you know, it just really ebb and flow type of thing for both teams, really. You know, and you know, KenPom, if you go by the whole KenPom thing, KenPom had Nebraska winning by 1%, the chance of winning was 53%. So it's not like this is a surprise. I think the way it happened, yeah, you're kind of gut punched a little bit, but the way, you know, the actual result bothers you, but the way the result got to you bothers you, but the forecast result, this is what was going to happen. You know, Nebraska was favored by 1. They lost by 1. I mean, that's a 2-point swing, you know.
Let me ask you this. Do you see any parallels? Some people who are listening might see this as a stretch, especially since there's more of a sample size, you know, as obviously being a longer season. But what we've seen in conference play this year from Nebraska. Does that at all remind you of last year's football team where we have just a bunch of heartbreaking close losses that could have been wins if one or two other things went our way? And then if you see those parallels, does that give you confidence for next year when this young team is a little bit older?
I don't know if it gives you confidence next year because, you know, and I say this because it's kind of like last year where Siobhan left, you know, and Andrew left. And I think what happens is this team unified a little faster because Andrew left and someone had to step in, which was Ty, but it couldn't just be Ty. So, you know, Glenn's been pretty good. Ed's been really good, you know, when he's been in there. I think Jerry Horn's played okay at times. I think Evan Taylor's played a lot better the last 5-6 games.
I would agree. I definitely agree. In conference play, I think he's really stepped it up.
I think Taylor's one of those guys. He likes to dribble to a spot, boom, and go. And that's fine. You know, he's putting the ball in the basket. I mean, if you want to criticize him for not shooting threes, that's fine. But Nebraska shot too many threes tonight again. They were 5 of 21. Ohio State was 6 of 18, and they're not great from three. And you can say, oh, they got better. Well, 6 of 18, I think you'll live with, you know. But I think what happens is, you know, there's a couple kids that could help. The new kid from Georgetown, the Copeland kid. And there's a couple other kids coming, but eventually you need a second 7-footer. You need a Jordy to develop a little bit. And Jordy tonight, you know, if Jordy was more refined, I think Jordy would have helped a lot more tonight, especially when Jacobs got his first two fouls. But it was Jacobson with the first two fouls. And Jordy, remember, Jacobs and Jordy both had four fouls between the two of them before the first TV timeout. Now, Jacobson did pretty well. So I don't think he got another – yeah, he did get one foul, more foul the rest of the way. And Jordy only got one more foul the rest of the way. But, you know, you put yourself behind the eight ball so hard with that. And Nebraska's had a hard time winning games as they have a hard time starting well in. Okay? That's what happened this year. But, you know, they got the lead and kind of in the back of the mind going, man, the lull's coming. The lull's going to be here. And you go, maybe that – and then all of a sudden, you know – Ohio State comes and comes and comes and comes.
It was, you know, a good night for Ohio
and Nebraska
State.
Answers, but they're on the short side of it tonight, you know. So you play a Rutgers team. I think it's Rutgers next game. Pretty sure it's Rutgers next game. You know, they're not very good. You know, if you lose that, then you've lost the last four, and then there's an issue. There's a systematic issue then all of a sudden. We'll see. I mean, you know, we didn't think this team was very good after they lost to Gardner Webb, and then all of a sudden they came back on that little bit of a run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, in the whole grand scheme of things, they're not that good, okay?
They're a little bipolar, you know, as a team, you know, because – You take the loss to Gardner Webb, and then you see how they started Big Ten play. You know, now they're 3-3 in conference play, but they still started 3-0 in conference play for the first time in 41 years. So, and like I said, the Northwestern, Michigan, and the Ohio State games were all winnable games. So, is there a team? It doesn't seem like anybody in the Big Ten is, you know, is dominating. I mean, is that fair? I mean, we haven't seen Wisconsin yet, and they're always good. But I always feel like we play them pretty well. We've had our luck in the past against Michigan State. You know, we've beat the Indianas and we've knocked off Iowa, which is always feels good no matter what. But you're six games in and you've got, what, 12 games left? Something like that in conference play? Or, you know, and just go out and play every game like you went to Indiana and played there, you know? You're still...
If it was only that easy. God, if it was only that easy.
Well, I know. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think anybody's really running away with it. I think Maryland's got a pretty good record, and you haven't seen them yet. But nobody's really running away. You can set yourself up pretty well for the Big Ten tournament if you, you know, start stacking together some W's.
Yeah, I don't think Nebraska. You know, let's get something out of the way. Let's get something out of the way. Nebraska never was an NCAA tournament team this year, okay? Because when they started 3-0, they were playing balls out, okay?
I understand. I understand they're playing balls out, quote unquote. I don't know what changed between those first three games and these recent games. Don't say the Ed Morrow injury.
No, you play at less of a level. I mean, if you're playing your brains out, yeah, you can win all those games. But that's something where, you know, it's few and far between. You know? And if you don't think that Tim's building the team right, then, yeah, maybe you fire Tim Miles and you get somebody else to take over the talent and such. But I say this.
You get the same situation, you know, if you get...
No. No, it's not even that. It's not even a situation. It's do you think Tim can build this team up to where they are competitive for a NCAA tournament bid year in and year out?
That's
your question.
I do.
If you do, then you take tonight's loss, you say it sucks, get a little bitchy about it, but then you realize that they'll play again Saturday in New Jersey, and if they win, it's a whole hell of a lot better than losing to Ohio State, winning to Rutgers, then losing to Rutgers, winning Ohio State, because, yeah, you had a little bit of momentum, and then all of a sudden it got canned and pooped on today, okay? So, and realize that at the ceiling, this team was probably an NIT team at best, okay? At best. And what's the culture? What's the culture like for Nebraska basketball? Do they think they're improving? Have they tuned out Tim Miles? The one thing I'll say about Miles that is bad is that he straight up freaking over coaches guys. Okay. He does. That's just what he does. But he has such a young team. I think he'd rather overcoach than undercoach, because what's going to happen if you undercoach is you're not going to develop kids the way you want them to develop. Okay. The game, yeah, it ended up where it sucked, where there was a bad play at the end of the game across Nebraska. The game was more than that tonight. You know, there's 39 minutes and 58 seconds of other stuff that happened, good and bad, for both teams. I almost accept Ohio State beating it because, you know, Thad Matta had something at Ohio State. He should be building, you know.
Because Ohio State has done something. Ohio State's done recent something. Memory, you remember them being on top.
Yeah. And, you know, as I've always said before, and I'll say it again, the first guy that wins a NCAA tournament game in Nebraska
gets a statue.
Gets a statue outside of Pinnacle Bank Arena. Theoretically, they should put a statue of Danny freaking Knee out there, but that's just my opinion, you know. So realize that, you know, does it suck? Yeah, it sucks. I'm not going to tell you it doesn't suck. But what I am going to say is that you can't have, you know, there's only so many players and so many coaches and such a schedule that's going to give you, you know, a magical mystery run. You know, there's a reason teams like the Gonzagas go well. There's a reason like the St. Mary's go well. You know, Gonzagas has a better program than Nebraska does.
Oh, yeah, well, and, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, little Big Ten school that makes $50 million a year profit versus little West Coast Conference school in Seattle that probably doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of money. I don't even know if they have a football team. I'm assuming they do.
Gonzagas in Spokane.
In Washington, I know that, yeah.
Yeah, but you said Seattle.
Close enough.
Well, they're on opposite ends of the state.
Well,
I've been past the Gonzaga
campus.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. I gotta get my words in, man.
No, you don't, because you're gonna get it in anyway.
Oh, fine.
You know, everybody in the listening knows I'm right. So, you know, it's not like where it's the football team where they had success and they want that back. It's kind of not really like the baseball team that's had success and wants it back to an extent. It's, man, you do, if you make the round of 32 in Lincoln.
Hero.
They name the building after you.
I was going to say, yeah, they'll rename Pinnacle Bank after you. Or Pinnacle Bank Arena.
So.
Now, how would that, theoretically, the stupid question, since we joked about it, would the university have to buy the naming rights back off of Pinnacle Bank or we say jokingly, if you make it to the round of 32, you know, Tim Miles or, you know, like, that's who I hope it is, but, you know, since Pinnacle Bank Arena Pinnacle Bank has the naming rights, does the university have to buy those rights back, or is it through the city of Lincoln?
I think that's a city thing.
All right.
I always find it interesting, though, that
it could be Tim Miles Court at Pinnacle Bank Arena.
I always find it interesting that it's Pinnacle Bank Arena, but the sponsor of the court's First National Bank of Omaha.
I thought that too, and you see it on the court on TV. A little conflicting. It's like when I worked in radio, you never put two. Car dealer ads in the same break because it's you know, conflict of interest. That's how I always operated. Everybody else who was a board op for me, they didn't care, but they're not professionals. They're assholes.
They're all assholes.
They're all assholes.
All assholes.
Anyway. Like in Spaceballs. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep firing assholes.
Anyway, Close the conversation on Nebraska ball then?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you listen to this tomorrow. Let's hope they win.
Yeah.
If they don't, then maybe we'll start listening to the Fire Miles bandwagon tonight, you know?
No, we don't.
Yeah, they will.
No.
Somebody always wants you fired.
I know.
Somebody always wants you fired.
I know.
If you do sites like this long enough, you find that somebody always wants somebody fired.
But it's never after a win.
Because what happens is somebody always wants somebody fired. Somebody always just wants money thrown out there. Excuse me, dry throat, guys. And
take your time, hydrate.
But at the third rate, you know. Nobody knows who take the job. Just throw money out there. Someone will take the job.
That's the thing, too. I mean, how much money are you willing to throw for? And not to disparage the basketball program, but how much money do you throw there to get somebody to, you know, come coach a Nebraska basketball team that hasn't really had any marked success? I mean, do you throw 20,000 or 20,000? 20, yeah, let's throw 20,000. That's gonna get a real winner.
$1,000.
Do you throw 20 million at you know, like someone like Coach K? Again, that's a ridiculous scenario. But you know, someone of that caliber would be like, you know what, you've had your success at Duke. Let's see how good of a coach you are. Can you win in Lincoln? You know, that type of thing.
I really don't think Coach Krzyzewski's coming to Lincoln, slugger.
No, that was purely.
No, you know who the rhetorical. First guy you look at is?
Scott Frost.
Shut the fuck up.
Somebody was thinking it. I just said it.
I'll poop in your mailbox.
Oh, good times, good times.
Honest to God, you know who the first guy you think of is?
Who?
Greg Marshall. The dude in Wichita State.
I thought you were going to say Tyronn Lue. But
no,
I don't see why he's coming. I don't see why he'd be coming from at least currently defending, you know, NBA champs.
And you notice and you know somebody's thinking, "Oh, Oh, Lee's right. Oh.
Easy slugger.
If they put the banner up of Tehran and he looked it up, all he'd have to do is recruit and look up and say, "My banner, you give me the next Dave Hoppin."
I figure, honestly, here's what I think would be more impressive to recruits if Lou was the coach. Here, look at my right hand and this big world championship ring that I have on here.
I don't know, man. You got it. It's a different game, you know.
Sure. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Sorry. I'm doing well tonight. How much of a teacher is he? You know.
No. Yeah. I was being stupid.
Because it seems like to me, an NBA guy would be more of a manager, you know, like an ego manager, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, because if you think about it, what did he really have to teach LeBron? You know, it's like it's LeBron, and all respect to LeBron. He's no Michael Jordan, but he's a pretty good LeBron. You know, but again, you're not taking 18, 19 year old kids and teaching them. You're taking 23 and 24 and up, you know, year old men and saying, "This is what I want you to do." And then if you have a big enough bank account in the NBA, then you can do that and win championships.
Yeah. Well. Anyhow.
My God, my dog just ripped ass, and I'm about to die. I had to get that out because that's why I knew it was going to interrupt my talking. She's no lady.
She's a lady.
No.
Whoa!
Let's talk, and I don't want to get real specific. I mean, you can if you want to.
I don't
want to
get too personal.
I mean, if you want to, because it's your baby. But I want to talk a little bit recruiting, just in the fact that, as we've said, you know, when it comes to 17, 18 year old, you know, young men, is that nothing's guaranteed until they're on campus. And as we found out, a lot of Nebraska targets who had committed elsewhere have since decommitted and were receiving some visits from some red-clad individuals.
Well, all the visits kind of started on Tuesday, Wednesday after the national championship game. And how much better is life a week later? You know,
yeah.
Day after the Army All-American game, everybody wants to, you know, slug each other and.
Coach Riley can't recruit, blah, blah, blah. What?
Call you a cheerleading bastard and la, 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 la. And now all of a sudden, you have one of the best wide receivers in America. You have a kid, a local kid that probably will look pretty well as an offensive tackle.
Now that's the one who had committed or had verbaled, I believe, to Wyoming, right?
You said local.
I figured Lincoln.
And word on the street says that he called Craig Bohl, the head coach of Wyoming, Sunday night to say, "Hey, I'm going to go to Nebraska and everything." And I haven't confirmed that, but this is just what I heard because I'm cool like that. Where does Craig Bohl just kind of said, "Well, okay," hung up on him and called it good.
And you know what, it speaks, in my opinion, of that young man's character that he didn't announce it on Twitter and, you know, or, you know, where his social network of choice and let, you know, the Wyoming staff see, he alerted them. And I don't know if that's common practice. You know, this is a unique case because he's a Lincoln kid, and you know, we not to say that we follow Wyoming athletics, but you know, there's that history there with Craig Bull, and but you know, does every kid who decommits from a school, do they call the coaching staff or their recruiter?
No.
That's what I'm figuring. So it seems like he's a you know, maybe a mature kid, you know, who went about it the right way.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I'd say 80% of kids don't do it that way. Maybe that's a little high, but there's a lot of kids, especially, you know, especially with schools that have different, you know, new head coaches, new position coaches, everything. They don't feel the need or reasoning to. And if you think about it, it's kind of a – you can see the point, because they were recruited by a guy, a position coach, recruited by a head coach. They knew what they're going to do, and all of a sudden everything's changed for them. It's like a completely different school. And – but, you know, I think he did it the right way. And, you know, I don't know if the whole bowl thing was correct or not, and I can't say it's not. You know, somebody wouldn't be lying on that. But I think what's interesting to see is, you know, Nebraska still has clout when it comes to schools like – Wyoming, Iowa State. Well, not so much Iowa, but, you know, smaller schools like that. And
Kansas.
I don't remember anybody targeting Kansas and Nebraska this semester. I'm not saying you're wrong. I can't think of an example, but what's interesting is, you know, Wyoming was going to try to build up schools, their classes off guys that Nebraska just forgot about, you know. Great example, C.J. Johnson last year, wide receiver that could have probably gotten an offer from Nebraska, but didn't. And, he's going to be a star, and he really wasn't that great this year. And kind of same thing with this kid this year, you know.
That was not the only...
Excuse me, I was taking a drink. And what's happening is schools are going after... walk-on candidates for Nebraska, the North Dakota State, the South Dakotas, you know, and their pitch, and it's a fair pitch, saying, hey, do you want to be paying for your old school, barely get on the 105 or anything, or do you want to come here, have your ride full, you know, we play pretty well, you know, your parents are going to see us play and such, so can Nebraska do that to Wyoming and Minnesota and such? I bet, so... But, you know, they haven't had the reason to the last couple of years, except for the and this is the second straight year that Nebraska's been popped on Wyoming to get a flip in the last couple, 3 weeks. So,
he was not the only player that Nebraska's been looking at who decommitted. And some of these were... You know, players who, I don't want to say spurned.
Engelhop was the kid name. That's right. I'm like, who the hell's the name of the kid? David Engelhop, when he committed last year. Honestly, he was a backup plan to Austin Allen not committing. Austin Allen going to Iowa State. And, you know, people get pissed off and stuff like that. Well, Austin Allen was a legacy to Iowa State. Austin Allen's a legacy to Iowa State, so I'm not really going to get fault. Nebraska can't flip a legacy. They were in it good, and the only reason they finished second was because dad wanted him to go where he went to school. So we'll live with that. That's fine. So recruiting's fine, man.
But like you said, what a difference a week makes. You know, last week we were talking about how a bunch of, you know, players kind of ignored us and went elsewhere. And now, even though they made decisions on nationally televised, you know, programming, they're like, give it more thought, you know. And again, most of these kids, you know, if you're at the Army All-America game, you have been on somebody's radar since you were probably a sophomore, safe to say.
Late sophomore year, yeah.
Okay.
Because you're probably getting noticed by recruiting services, and you're going to start camping your junior year.
So, I mean, obviously, the as time goes on, you get, you know, more attention, more phone calls, texts, visits, you know, official visits on campuses, things like that. But it can still feel like it's a rushed decision because you've got, well, you know, we'll kind of put it in other terms. You've got, you know, 10 suitors all, you know, trying to, you know, show up, you know, ring your doorbell with a bunch of roses at one time, and you got to pick one wearing hopefully a Nebraska hat. You know, I mean, but there's a lot of pressure, and I certainly don't pretend to know what these kids are you know, experiencing. But, you know, I could see, and this is why I take a more backseat approach to following recruiting. And I know it's important to, you know and who these kids are, who are, you know, who we're targeting or who are coming on campus. But I take more of a wait and see approach because I don't want to put the cart before the horse. I do that enough in other aspects of life. But, you know, I just want to, I don't know. I can see where, you know, some of these kids might feel, you know, like, oh, I felt pressured to pick, you know, team A, but I've had a little bit more time to think about it. And, you know,
you mean like Javier Cavan?
Sure.
Because I don't think anybody thinks that, you know, I'd like to know what happened on that stage. I think a lot of people like to know what happened on this stage on for him to pick. You know, did mom win? I bet we're gonna bet mom won. You know,
but
I just don't get it. You know, how do you? Because basically, think about it. He picks Oregon State, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then literally the next day, mom's saying, well, his heart's in Nebraska and such like that. And it's like, you know, worst case scenario, if you don't pick right there, no one's really going to fault you. Say, hey, I need to take more time. We get that. That's fine. Cool. But
does the network or the Army All-America Committee have, you know, a list of kids ahead of time who they want to pick at that game? Or is it the kids who decide I'm picking at the All America game? I mean, I don't know how that works. I didn't know if you had any insight.
I think what happened, this is not like a stone thing. So don't, I'm not 100% sure, but what I think is they look for X amount to go like that. Okay. And they would like so many X stars, so many Y, you know, stars, and they cut it up like two or three a period, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, if I remember right, Calvin was the first one, and Darnay Holmes was, I can't remember if he was the last one or the next to last one. I know Calvin was the first one, and I'm kind of thinking, well, it's either going to be really great right away or really bad right away, you know.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, regardless of who's picking or who, what school does, what's that approach? How is it determined who is going to, you know, be televised when they do a hat selection? That, I guess, that was my question.
I think they get a little influence to push towards it. I don't know if it's actual Army All-American guys or NBC that does it, but I know they get a little bit of push towards it. But I tend to think what happens is more kids will want it than they actually have time for. Because think about it, you're live, you know, everybody's watching.
Right.
You know,
opportunity to really get your name out there to a national, yes, you know, audience.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and, you know, as far as Darnay goes, nobody knew who Darnay was picking. Nobody knew who Darnay was picking until he pulled the hat.
I was going to say, and he went UCLA, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, went to UCLA.
It took me a minute to remember that.
I kind of thought, you know, a couple guys thought he was going to be a Husker. I know Nate Klaus thought he was going to be a Husker. I kind of thought at the end USC would win out just because, you know, USC's had this little bit of a, I don't know what you call it. Renaissance is probably the good word.
They'd been down for a couple of years, you know, after Pete Carroll left and such, and you know, they had to deal with the Lane Kiffin years. But yeah, they're on an upswing, so I could see why they would be attractive, especially to, you know, an area kid like that. You know, I mean, if you think about it, if you're in the greater Los Angeles area, and you have, well. I get, you know, Darnay Holmes, I can't say he's the exception, but if you have a choice between USC and UCLA, you know, either way, you're going and you're playing either at the Rose Bowl or the Coliseum, you know, so there's a ton of history there, but, you know, I also think
family's a big deal on that, though. You know, I really think family's a big deal on that.
Well, I'm not talking about Darnay specifically. I'm just saying, you know, a kid from that area. Offers from both, and let's say it's narrowed down between the two. Let's say for whatever reason there are no other teams. You know, obviously that would never happen, but you know, you've narrowed it down to USC or UCLA. I think majority of the kids are going to pick USC. I don't know why. I just, you know, think that'd be the case. More,
it's, possible.
National attention more recently. I mean, even if it's not all necessarily good. I mean, UCLA hasn't played for a national title in how long?
UCLA was, what, 4-8 this year?
Was what?
Something like that. UCLA didn't go to a bowl game this year?
No, they were you know, Nebraska broke them in the bowl game, just like Nebraska broke Oregon in week 3. So, Nebraska's the Pac-12 crusher.
Sure, we'll call it that. Why not?
And,
the one thing I'll say of this about recruiting, it's 2 weeks as we record this. It's literally 2 weeks till I don't sleep. You know,
be up watching that fax machine early.
I'll be up before a lot of people. But understand this: between the end of the dead period last year, okay. Which was the day after the national championship game, which is like January 9th or something. Okay. To national signing day, which is approximately 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, right? There were over 200 decommitments. Oh, no, it's like 197. My buddy Kevin saw it. 197 decommitments among Power 5 schools.
That's a lot.
Okay. That's a lot. And what you have to understand is this. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of turnover. There's a lot of positional turnover. There's a lot of head coach turnover. And what happens is, you know, there's no really rule that says, you know, oh, this guy's committed here. Don't touch him. This guy's committed here. Don't touch him. It's ollie, oxen free. It's fair game, love and war. You know. I mean, Nebraska found that out with Tom Herman and Reese Lido, the tight end recruit, you know?
Yeah.
Perfect. But guess what? Tom Herman comes in. I'm building something new. Why don't you come out? Okay. You know,
but at the same time, there's the Austin, the offensive tackle, I believe.
Brandon James, yeah.
Yeah, from Austin, who said no thanks. And
you're going to get guys like that, but you're going to get guys that are kind of looking. And there are guys who hold places. Okay. They hold commitments as placeholders. That's just the way it is. Perfect example, this cycle, the Juan Harris kid. Okay. Juan Harris, who's committed to Indiana right now, he committed and decommitted from Iowa 4 times. At least, maybe not four, at least 3 times. 3 times.
That's a lot of wishy-washiness.
And everybody, and he's not a badly ranked player, but I'm you know, when I wrote pieces, I said, you need to stay the hell away from that, you know? And ironically, he sticks with Indiana. He committed to Indiana. He's stuck with Indiana now, but it's because his, you know, his defensive coordinator is going to be head coach.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy like Raftel, Kurt Raftel, okay, who Nebraska won it, and fair enough, they lost to Indiana too, okay? He sees Kevin Wilson get fired. He sees his position coach get fired. He sees the entire Indiana offensive park get gutted. He's going to go look around. You know, do you call him a jerk or anything like that because he decommitted? No.
Nope.
You know? Remember, Bo Pelini got fired, and the first thing that happened is the Jerkovich kid from IMG decommits that hour, okay?
Did he end up at Youngstown?
He ended up at Georgia, actually, yeah, well, if I remember.
It's a little bit bump up from Youngstown.
Well, he actually committed to Ohio State, but I don't think he qualified at Ohio State. So he had to qualify at Georgia. He qualified and went to Georgia. So,
on a
point I'm getting to is decommitments happen, okay? And the quicker you understand and hang in there with a class that realize that, you know, yeah, do you wish every kid could just sign the dotted line right when they commit to your school? No and yes, because yes, if the kid that's really overrated and wants to come, but no, if it's a kid that you've been working on. Look at Tyjon Lindsey. You know?
That's true.
Fucking little motherfucker. You know, August fucking piece of shit. He don't know what commitment is. All of a sudden, in December, he comes to Nebraska. Oh, he's the greatest thing. You know, come on. You know, and then you have the superstar of I don't take any of these kids seriously until they sign on the dotted line. Why should I take them seriously? Well, okay, don't take them seriously. That's fine. That's your prerogative.
I'm not gonna lie.
And you can hate recruiting, and that's fine, and that's your prerogative. But guess what? Recruiting is one of those things that
necessary.
It's a violently necessary evil.
Necessary evil. Two things, actually three things. I'm gonna stretch this out, and then we'll wrap it up. Do you, because you're an encyclopedia of recruiting knowledge? So do you just have every high school kid who's a three star or better just memorized?
Clinically high with that statement, but go ahead.
That was my question.
No, I don't.
Okay, all right. Because you just pull this info very readily. Number two, when you and two and three are joint. When you made the impersonation of "I don't take it seriously until they sign on the dotted line" guy, you sounded an awful lot like Vince McMahon of WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. And thirdly, for anybody who watched the Nebraska ball game towards the end or watched BTN, you know, with any regularity, after the game they were advertising the big show. And I wondered if you thought that was gimmick infringement on the WWE superstar known as the big show, and if WWE should you know, look to perhaps do a little gimmick infringement. Just your take.
I don't know. Why you kind of put me on the spot?
I was hoping to hear you roll your eyes. That's like, you know, I was hoping you'd be like, "Damn it, Greg! Why the hell did you bring up wrestling?" You know.
You know. And you can ask Greg, folks, if I say this a long time. I there's a lot of times I look at people and say, "Don't look at me in that tone of voice."
And that's about what?
I should have said that right about then and there. But recruiting, yes. It's going to be fun. Yeah. And then you're not going to, you know, we're not recording 2 weeks from today. On Wednesday, we're not doing that.
Are you going to need a nap?
See, here's what happens with National Signing Day.
It starts at about 6 o'clock in the morning, doesn't it?
How late? No, that's late.
Okay.
It starts like 5 o'clock in the morning.
I figured that even on the... what's the earliest that a school can receive the fax for the LOI?
You know what? Let's look up the rules, shall we?
Well, we don't need an answer right now. We can save that for next week.
No.
We can cry out loud.
No.
I guess while you look that up, I guess the better question is, how long into the night will that fax machine be buzzing?
You can sign on February 1st, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be no later than April 1st, 2017.
Okay.
Now, what's fun about that is this. Okay. If I remember the rule right, it can't come in. You can't fax it to your school earlier than 8 a.m. your local time.
Okay.
Okay. So 7 a.m. Nebraska can get all their, East Coast
recruits.
Now,
here's an oddball. I'm just going to throw an oddball out at you. What would be the rules, if you will, and I'm not saying Nebraska specifically, but if any team was looking internationally, like maybe they found some. Well, a perfect example is, and don't ask me to pronounce his name, but any Game of Thrones fans out there, the guy who plays the Mountain, who had an offer to go play for the Indianapolis Colts an offseason or two ago. But if you're in Sweden or Norway or something like that, or more realistically, if you're a kicker from Spain, what are those types of rules?
I think the rules stay the same, but I think what happens is the NCAA clearinghouse would kind of tap the brakes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have to wait till you have full clearance. You get the ball rolling on that as soon as possible can.
Sure.
But very few and far between on that. I think honestly the same rule states. So let's say it's
there are more kids from Canada.
If it's 8 a.m. there, I guess
And it's a 7 hour time, 7 hour, zone difference. Cause I know central time zone is, 6 hours back from, Greenwich, mean time or median time or,
GMT or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd actually have to research that. That doesn't sound right to me for some reason.
Well, and again, I don't know how many, I don't know how many schools are recruiting in Europe, I don't know how many Europeans care about American football, truth be told. That's why NFL Europe's not there anymore. But anyway, that was a random oddball question. And for my use, it's a good way to end this week's podcast with a question.
Oh, we're ending it. Okay.
Unless you got more to say.
I really don't, because I'm going to be writing every day between now and National Signing Day, and you're probably going to get sick of me by then. And if I'm going to sound like this, then it's probably better I write, because I'm talk is kind of dry. So, stupid Texas winners.
Well, you need a humidifier.
Here's the problem with that. I do. No. I do. You're not wrong on that. But, and I don't know if this happens to your house or not, too. But, where the heater is and all that such, my bedroom's just a little colder.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It faces the east. So if an east wind or a north wind comes around the corner, it hits it. So if it gets colder than that, and I have a cold, and I have a like a cooler humidifier,
mm-hmm.
it just lingers over everything. Everything
sure.
it just gets wet. Because we did that for my kid one time in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you walked in, everything was like half-ass damp, and you're like, oh,
if someone can explain this in-home phenomenon to me in a comment, that'd be great. But I'm trying to figure out why, like the heat is on, Glenn Frey, it's on the street. Anyway,
That song should be banned from here.
That's it.
You know why?
Shut up, man.
No, you know why?
Why?
If you're a USHL fan, and some people are, and you live in Lincoln, it's a song, it's the goal song for the Omaha Lancers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And the Lancers suck. So.
All right, moving on. If I've got my bedroom door closed and I have two heating vents in the bedroom and the heat comes on in at night, why it's always so damn cold in my bedroom when I wake up compared to the rest of the house? Somebody can answer that question in the comments. You will receive something.
You know what's funny is, you know, we sleep on a Sleep Number bed, right?
I didn't know that, but okay.
Well, we've had it for like 9 years, and I actually really dig it. I really do dig it.
Is it because worth it?
Two things. One, you know, the whole adjustable thing is really cool. And you're kind of sleeping on an air mattress, but it's wide enough that fat asses like me can deal with it. But two, you know, since we've kind of worked different shifts, you know, my wife's a teacher. She's out of there at 6 a.m. and
you don't feel her, you
know,
move?
Sometimes I get home and come to bed like 1, 2 a.m.
She from work, you know. You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it gets weird to kind of, you know, we have the kind of different, we have different, you know, time frames, but also we have like different, we have two different blankets on the bed.
Okay.
Which I completely requested because she's a blanket hog and, you know, that was two. So, you know, the thing is though, when it gets cold, you know, it's an air mattress. You know, most of it's part of it's an air mattress, right? So when it gets cold, the air pressure goes down. Okay.
I believe it.
But when you first lay on a bed, it's cold air. You know, it's not – there's no heater. There's no bed heater that they've invented yet for Select Number that I probably couldn't afford. Okay. So what I've done is – it seems really weird, but follow me here. I've taken an old – comforter, they put it on the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
I'll lay there and I, you know, it's kind of like the whole sleeping bag thing, you know.
I could see that. We actually, one of the presents I got my wife for Christmas was a heated electric blanket, so that's been working well.
I'm just not a fan of heated electric blanket like that. I just don't know why.
I don't know. It works. It works well because it's got two controllers, so I actually get heated blanket as well. And we can set it on different settings, and it's nice. It's really brought us together as a couple.
Yeah. You know what? You know what Taco Bell's coming out with later this week?
No, but I know of a place in Cape Girardeau that has something called the Breakfast Club Burrito. You go first, and then I'll tell you about mine.
We're talking about Taco Bell, sir.
I know. You first, and then I'll tell you mine.
I'm coming out with a taco that has a chicken for a shell.
Okay, I have heard of that. And yes, it does look good. Probably won't ever have one.
Is it kind of meta, though, if they put like steak in there? Or beef?
I don't know.
You're like, man, what's the point?
It's probably beef.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be a chicken. I mean, it's already a chicken taco shell. It wouldn't be a chicken taco in a taco shell.
They're already owned. They're owned by the company that does the Double Down.
Yeah. Oh, yep. I know. So if you're ever in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, you need to put in your Google Maps or whatever a place called Burritoville. They have and I lived in Cape Girardeau. And I got, you know, some friends who live down there. And my buddy sent me a message. He said, "Dude, they just announced this thing called the Breakfast Club." And I said, "All right." I said, I'm guessing, you know, a potato, egg, you know, sausage or bacon, maybe even steak, you know, as the meat, you know, maybe some cheese. You know, first of all, I got to tell you, at Burritoville, the burritos are the size of your forearm. That is not a lie. These things are massive and they're worth every reasonable penny. But what it is instead, it's a burrito with fried chicken tender, waffle, syrup, a little bit of cheese, and it looks like heaven. So, shout out to Burritoville. They've always done me good, and they sell alcohol now. You can get a beer and a burrito the size of a small child.
Not my small child, because my small child's pretty big.
My small child's gotten a lot bigger, but when he was born, it was probably pretty comparable. And I'm not joking.
And on that note, we better go.
Shout out to Burritoville and to Taco Bell with the chicken taco shell.
And a ski.
But I've given up soda. I've switched primarily to coffee, water, and an occasional brewski.
And, oh, that's your fault.
I know, but I have lost 8 pounds, so I'm
glad you have. I still, that's your fault. So
I know.
I'm not saying that it's bad if you quit soda, but I can't do that right now. So
it's tough, especially being, you know, when I could use a ski. So anyway, on that happy note, I've got dishes and laundry to do. So for Brian,
gotta brush my teeth. So
yeah, get that Mountain Dew off you. No, Orange Crush. Never mind. I know too much. For Brian Toll, I'm Greg Mahochko, Five Heart Podcast, Coronation, Jittery Monkey, reminding you that Five Heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.